Hello, this is Lewis.
And this is Ian.
And welcome to 101 Films You Should Have Seen.
Probably.
So this week, it's a special.
Special!
It's the summer special.
Summer special,
like
yes.
The Beano.
Yeah, it's the summer special annual.
Exactly.
Right, readers?
That's right, we're on holiday.
Yeah, kind of. Well, we've done this slightly strange way, haven't we? We've done it right at the end of the summer.
Well, you've got to do it at the end. You've got to look back at the summer.
Well, we've had all our summer holidays. They're all done and dusted, more or less, now. And now we're just pushing through to Christmas. But before we do so, we cast our minds and cast our eyes over the summer. And what do you think of when you think of films in summer, Lewis?
What do you think? I don't know. You're looking at me like I should know.
Well, yeah, because there's the whole point.
Oh, at the point of this podcast?
Yes, exactly.
Right. Yes, summer blockbusters.
Summer blockbusters. And just like a mediocre summer blockbuster, we're coming at the tail end of the summer. Where they don't think we're going to make much money. We're just tacking on at the end there. The fag end of the summer.
Nice.
And we're going to tell you, dear listener, how to make the perfect summer blockbuster.
Yeah, we've put our thinking caps on. We thought about it really, really hard for at least half an hour. Yeah, we've put together a list of, I think, the key ingredients of what make a summer blockbuster. And it's a pretty good list, I've got to say.
Yeah, yeah.
Well researched.
Yeah, yeah. And
you may not agree with some of the items on the list, but, you know,
no,
when
but,
you get a podcast, you can...
Yeah, you can talk about it. But I think we'll admit this right at the beginning of the podcast. A lot of the rules we use, a lot of the guidelines we use, a lot of the questions we ask, they're very arbitrary.
Very arbitrary.
It's just what feels right.
Yeah, exactly.
There's something instinctive about the summer blockbuster, isn't there?
Exactly. So we decided that the first summer blockbuster was Jaws. We're not going to have any arguments about whether The Godfather was a blockbuster. We're just going to go straight in and say Jaws.
Yeah, there are arguments. Of course, there were films that made a lot of money over the summer before that. But Jaws, I think, boils down what it is to be a blockbuster
that,
in many ways.
That is the modern blockbuster, right, in a nutshell.
That's the firing pistol that started the blockbuster race, which we're in the middle of right now.
Exactly, the blockbuster wars. Maybe this time next year, the blockbuster will have died a death and we'll just be watching French art house movies and wondering why we ever went to see Transformers. But for the time being,
yeah,
it's the age of the blockbuster.
It's like guitar music. Yeah,
exactly.
It can't go on forever, can it? So, yeah, I think it's quite fitting we're doing this because 2012's not been a bad year for the summer blockbuster.
No, there's been some big names. Yeah. Prometheus, for one,
yeah,
which we've been talking about pretty much non-stop since it came.
That's true. For good,
for
and
good
bad.
Or bad, yeah.
The Avengers Assemble.
Which I still haven't seen.
No, which I sneakily went behind your back and watched.
Judas!
Without you. Of course, The Dark Knight.
The Dark Knight Rises.
Well, Dark Knight Rises.
Dark Knight Strikes Back. No, yeah.
The Dark Knight Strikes Back is the comic book. I always get them confused. But yeah, The Dark Knight Rises. That Spider-Man film.
Didn't see that one.
No,
did you?
I didn't see that either.
Spider-Man. Too soon.
It is too soon. I just couldn't face it. It looked quite good in its way, but I just couldn't be bothered.
In your face, Sony Pictures. In your face.
But yeah, I think so it's not been too bad. Yeah, definitely better than last year.
Hmm.
Where the big summer blockbuster was what?
Green Lantern.
Ooh, that says it all. That really does say it all. So it does seem just quite right that we now look at the summer blockbuster.
Okay, so let's dissect it.
Yes.
We should actually point out as well, some of the other rules we've had are that we can't have too much violence. So we looked at films like Predator and Aliens and we thought,
big films.
But... I don't know. It has to be a family.
I guess.
A family.
I mean, that's a broad spectrum of films, but broadly speaking, family films. Something that...
You could take your mum to.
Yeah. I think that your parents could possibly enjoy as well, as well as you. So it can't be
maybe
too...
Maybe not for the little kids.
No,
maybe not for the little kids.
Maybe not. We're not talking about really kind of kiddie family fare.
You know.
Necessarily. I think one or two of our films
are
completely fine for children, but... There is, it's, you know what, it's the bits of the films that appeal to the lizard part of your brain. That's the summer blockbuster.
That's it. It's just base instinct and desire.
Excellent. So, to begin with.
First on our list has to be a massive explosion at some point in the film.
Definitely.
If it doesn't have a massive explosion, it's not a blockbuster.
Whatever happens, there has to be a huge, massive explosion. If it has some people walking away slowly and then they are like the explosion happens behind them, all the better.
Definitely.
But you need something. And straight away, when you're thinking of massive explosions, you're thinking Independence Day.
Independence Day. They had the goal to blow up the White House. Now that was a trailer moment.
Not just the White House, Lewis. The Empire State Building, the Golden Gate Bridge.
That building in Chicago.
The Space Needle, probably. I can't quite remember now. But, you know, the LA, the Hollywood sign, that went, didn't it?
Yeah, it went. I don't know why the aliens bother blowing up that particular sign. But, you know, it totally went.
Yeah, and I remember seeing the trailer for Independence Day. And I just thought it looked the most amazing thing in the world ever.
And it was.
I tell you, I can happily watch Independence Day.
Yeah.
Even now.
It stood up well. The special effects still look good.
It tends to be, I don't know why.
It's got Jeff Goldblum in it.
Jeff Goldblum, yeah, exactly. For some reason, Channel 5 seems to have the rights to Independence Day, because it always seems to be on Channel 5. Just flicking channels, like, oh, Independence Day. I can't help but get drawn in. Yeah. Especially, it's got a countdown in it.
Yeah.
Building suspense and you're waiting, just, oh, it's teasing. You know, you've seen the explosions in the trailer. You know they're coming, so you're just waiting for the explosions to happen.
I know.
And it just builds and builds and builds until there is a orgasmic release of destruction across.
So that is the vital ingredient for it. And we had a look at all of the blockbusters. We did a bit of a brainstorm and made a list of our kind of favourite blockbusters.
You've got explosions in Star Wars. I mean, the Death Star.
Well, yeah,
being blown up twice. Two different films.
So good they named it twice. James Bond is basically an explosion and sexy ladies, but we'll come to that.
Yep. Jaws, the very first blockbuster, the shark gets blown up.
Don't spoil the ending.
Spoiler, the shark gets blown up at the end.
Armageddon, they blow up a fucking asteroid. So basically, explosions is number one priority for a blockbuster.
Okay, moving on. Of course, the explosions are fine, and as we said, but then, you know, they're not any good unless you have a big name actor walking in front of them very slowly.
Exactly. Otherwise, what's the point to an explosion? It's just a disaster. You could watch the news for that.
Yeah. Yeah, quite. And you can't get any bigger than Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford.
The HF. Harrison Ford. Hey Ford. And he's been in...
Hey Ford.
Hey Ford. And yeah, he's got trilogies dropping off him like no one's business. He's Indiana Jones.
He's Han Solo.
Yeah, he's Han Solo and he's Indiana Jones.
I mean, the man's a legend.
What? I mean, essentially they're the same character.
Well, but one's got a whip.
Yeah, one's got a whip. One's not got a hat. That's how you.
One's not got a hat.
That's how you can tell the difference.
He's got that little snazzy waistcoat.
He's got a little waistcoat. Yeah, that's the other
thing. Not sure waistcoats are an absolute priority for blockbusters, but you know,
old Bruce Willis can't get better than Bruce Willis in Armageddon.
Yeah, exactly. So straight away, big name actor. You've got to have a big name actor. Tommy from Third Rock from the Sun. He's turned up in a few of them.
Inception.
Dark Knight,
yeah. And sometimes, you know, the blockbuster can make the actor, can't they? It can make turn them into a big name actor.
That's true.
I'm thinking of someone like Maximilius.
Russell Crowe.
That's it. Well done. Based on that impression.
The lizard part of my brain was really struggling with that.
I mean, Gladiator really made him, didn't it?
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah. Eddie Murphy in Beverly Hills Cop.
It's true.
And yeah, Beverly Hills Cop, great film. Just gonna say that. Just want to say those words out loud. Great film. Michael J. Fox in Back to the Future.
That's true. Really made him. Yeah.
But
you can't have a big name actor without a sexy lady.
A sexy lady.
I think we should point out here that we're not being sexist. The movie industry is sexist.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Now we don't necessarily agree that these are the categories and rules we're coming up with are the best things to have, but
these
are the things
down.
That work. That's Lewis, great. Carry on.
Well, I was just trying to think of, like, you know, big blockbusters with big female stars, and not really many of them.
No, I mean Sigourney Weaver in Aliens, but an Alien and Alien 3. That from I don't know why I've done it in that order. Yeah. Aliens, Alien, Alien 3. But yeah, 18 rated.
18 rated. We can't, on our strict criteria, we can't allow that in.
No.
But who else? Angelina Jolie, I suppose. She's done a few big ones. Tomb Raider, Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
God. that's a
shocker. Touching at straws now.
Yeah. I mean, you have strong female characters in blockbusters.
But very few in the leading role.
Yeah.
Very few.
Yeah, true. They're usually the sassy sidekicks, aren't they?
Which is a shame, really. There should be more films like that.
Yeah, we want to see a sexy lady be the main focus of a film.
Not necessarily. A dowdy lady. A dowdy lady. Oh, come on.
I don't think there's anything wrong. I mean, the big name actors tend to be sexy, don't they?
Yeah, I guess
most
so.
Of the main stars of the films are sexy, you know, like Keanu Reeves. You like Keanu Reeves, Lewis?
I can't think of any others.
That's it. That's, the only
that's it. Keanu Reeves.
No,
done.
Come. Well, you know. I can't think of any. Oh, Russell Crowe. A lot of ladies like him.
Yeah.
You know, he has his.
His rages.
Bill Murray. I find him quite sexy.
I do as well, but I think we should keep that to ourselves.
Yeah, that's true. But sexy ladies, where are you looking for your sexy ladies? You can't beat the James Bond films.
Can't beat a bit of Bond.
Ooh, the James Bond films.
Who's your favourite Bond girl?
It's going to be Jane Seymour, Solitaire and Live and Let Die.
See, that's quite a controversial choice.
Oh, there was a... I saw her just at the right age. I must have been about eight or nine when I saw that film for the first time, and yeah.
It's had an effect. His face has just become a mask of passion.
You know where you just suddenly flips, where you're just like, yeah, like, yeah, you'd be like, oh, great, James Bond and the cars and the chases.
He's
and then,
turned into a submarine.
And then you're like, oh, boring, he's kissing girls. And then for some reason, suddenly you stop thinking that's boring, he's kissing girls, to like, oh, he's kissing that. Oh my God. Why? What are these feelings?
And Jane Seymour was that revelation for you.
Yeah, definitely. And yourself?
Well, controversially, I think the last film, Quantum of
Solace. What? That's when you had your sexual awakening.
That was my sexual awakening at the age of 31.
Well, good. I'm glad it came in the end.
Yeah, me too. Olga Kurylenko. Wow, she's hot. And Gemma Arterton was in that film as well. Amazing.
But speaking of Bond, the sexy lady is one side of the coin. The other is, of course, violence.
Violence.
Violence. Glock. Now, we said our films, our blockbusters, our summer blockbusters can't be too violent.
Yeah. No 18 ratings, please.
But they need to be violent enough.
Yeah.
They need to have punching. They need to have kicking.
At least punching. Yeah. I think the basic of the rule is plenty of violence, no blood.
Yes, that's it. Definitely. Yeah. You can't see a bullet go through someone.
No, exactly.
Unless that person is a robot. Or something.
Yes, that's the rule. They'll slump down, not a trace of blood anyway.
No, I don't want to see, yeah, like, for example, Total Recall, great film. Some people could argue it's a blockbuster, but
yeah,
a man's arms get cut off in a lift.
Yeah, someone's eyes pop out. I mean, that's not family entertainment, is it?
No, definitely not. So, sadly, yeah, it just crosses the line. But when you have something like... Ooh. Well, people, the James Bond films.
Yeah, Raiders of the Lost Ark, people's faces melting off.
Yeah.
Somehow they got away with that. I don't know how they got away with that, but they snuck in.
True Lies, crazy over-the-top fight sequences, but, you know, it's not that violent, really.
No, they do fight on a Harrier jump jet, which is...
Yeah, true. Yeah, so you just need that just the right level of extreme violence, just to make it swing.
Bit of the old ultra-violence.
Yeah. Next on the list.
Now, I see you've put down spaceships here. Can you explain?
What? You need spaceships. What? You need spaceships to make a blockbuster.
I'm not sure that really fits.
All right, okay.
Where were the spaceships in James Bond?
Moonraker. And...
Okay, you've called my bluff.
What's the... I think... Is it in Live and Let Die where... What's the one where he's kidnapping spaceships?
Oh, the rock, the big kind of...
Yeah, what film was that? That's,
yeah. I don't know.
So there's two films of spaceships. GoldenEye's a satellite.
Oh, yeah. Okay, you call my bluff, it's fine. James Bond has spaceships.
Independence Day. Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. The one of the greatest films ever made. Star Wars.
All right, okay.
The three Star Wars is. We're not counting the...
You just call them Star Wars. Star Wars. All right.
Even Indiana Jones, you know, went shit by having a spaceship in the fourth one.
Don't ruin it for everyone. Actually, no, do ruin it. Just don't go and see it. It's terrible.
E.T. spaceships.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit? How does that fit
That's
in there?
That's probably got a spaceship probably in it. Yeah. But there's enough. Armageddon.
Okay. But this isn't a catch-all thing. Beverly Hills Cop 2 definitely weren't any spaceships
in there. You see, I don't really like Beverly Hills Cop 2. Beverly Hills Cop is almost perfect. It could be improved if he perhaps rides a spaceship at some point.
Okay, fine. We'll accept spaceships. Okay, but the big thing, huge marketing campaign.
Yeah, it's often with a blockbuster, it's the build-up.
Yeah.
Because often blockbusters are mildly disappointing.
Exactly.
But the lead-up, when you see that teaser trailer in the summer before, you're like, ooh. It was quite good.
Summer 2012. A thing will happen.
Everything changed.
Duh, duh, duh.
But I mean, unless it's got a McDonald's Happy Meal.
Yep, that's it. Lunchbox has to have a lunchbox.
Toys,
yeah.
Unless I'm flicking through the Argos catalogue and there are no toys based on that film, it's not a summer blockbuster as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, that's a good criteria. I like
that. I mean, I think the build up. Possibly the perfect build-up to any summer blockbuster, Jurassic Park.
Oh, my God. When that was announced, a film directed by Steven Spielberg with dinosaurs in it.
You can't beat it. And you had lunchboxes, you had Happy Meals, you had pencil cases, you had everything you can imagine.
It was just a 360-degree movie experience. Everywhere you looked, there was Jurassic Park.
And, of course, the ones who invented it, Star Wars.
Yeah, that's
it. Yeah, no, all the toys.
Well, no, you know, famously, they made more money from the toys than the films, didn't they?
Yeah. God, eh?
Craziness.
I mean, how many little tiny Harrison Fords are there across the world?
You're kind of implying that Harrison Ford slept around quite a lot. Anyway, moving on. Heartwarming moments.
Yeah. You're right, you got your sexy actors and you've got your violence.
But to counter that violence, you need a heartwarming moment.
Yeah, you need...
I'm thinking the flower opening in E.T.
Yeah, yeah. I'm thinking, you know, Forrest Gump as a whole.
Yeah, that maybe veered a bit too far towards the heartwarming moment.
That's true. That's
you don't want to go off into schmaltz. That's the trouble. The schmaltz folds
over. Okay, all right, I'm thinking the dog running away from the explosion in Independence Day and surviving.
Yes. This is more like it. The dog running away... Jurassic Park, a lawyer being in a toilet.
Yeah, I mean, that's the heartwarming moment, the toilet bit. Or when Newman from Seinfeld gets spat in the face by that dinosaur.
Our hearts melted.
You know, you've got the flirtatious relationship building up between Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock in Speed.
That's true.
Heartwarming
wooden acting. Okay, next on the list, I see we've got, what have you put down here? Dinosaurs. And you've put an exclamation mark after it.
Dinosaurs, yeah. Dinosaurs.
Okay.
What film could not be improved without adding dinosaurs?
I'm not sure this should be a separate category, though. I mean, we've got spaceships already, and now we've got dinosaurs as a separate category.
Dinosaurs.
So it has to have dinosaurs. Right, okay.
Jurassic Park. Bam.
Yep, that's the only film on this list that has dinosaurs in it.
Jaws, it's a prehistoric creature. It's been around since dinosaur times.
Right, okay.
Ghostbusters has got those big dog things. They've kind of got a prehistoric look to them, haven't they?
I think you're clutching at straws here.
What? Yeah, Armageddon, that's got a meteorite that killed dinosaurs.
Right, okay, moving on.
Beverly Hills Cop.
Okay, we've had enough examples of dinosaurs. A special effect more special than anything before it.
Yes, definitely. You need that. You need the money shot. Isn't that strange how the term money shot has just entered just natural kind of conversational parlance where children will refer to the money
shot.
Or yeah, people will just say, oh, it's the money shot. Like in meetings and things like that's your money shot. Yeah, do you know where that phrase actually comes from? But yeah. A special effect, something so impressive that you're like, what? Oh, I've got to see this film.
Yeah.
Often like teased in the trailer or shown in the trailer. I mean, again, Independence Day.
Yeah.
You've got...
I think that was almost the apex of that, because now that we've got that was kind of a Independence Day came out just when computer effects were really kind of on the rise, and it was like nothing we'd ever seen before. You know, previously we'd had the 80s kind of special effects of Ghostbusters and stuff like that, and then suddenly it was just like, oh my god, they're blowing up buildings and it looks amazing.
Yeah.
And I don't think I've seen a film since then that's made me go, wow, that was absolutely amazing.
The only thing that's come close to that, which was in the trailers, in Cloverfield, where you see the Statue of Liberty's head rolling down the street on, like, mobile phone camera footage. Just because it was a novelty. That's an interesting way of doing it.
That's true.
But you're right.
Taking it back a bit, you know.
But you're right. But, I mean, like, the realistic dinosaurs in Jurassic Park, the ghosts in Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Terminator 2. The liquid metal man.
Phenomenal. Looking back at it now, it's slightly ropey around the edges, but, you know.
Oh, come on. Come on. You can't criticise it.
I'm just judging by today's standards. That's all I'm saying. It still looks great.
What would you prefer, Terminator 3?
Yeah. The Matrix is definitely the standout film for this.
Yeah, that's true. That's post-Independence Day.
Yeah.
And that had some amazing moments. I suppose
We saw that together, didn't we?
We did, yeah. We did see it, yeah.
Holding hands in the background. And
not much film when watching going on, I can tell you.
That blew me away. We came out of that cinema just like, oh my God, that was amazing. Oh, that was the best film.
Yeah.
It was phenomenal.
Oh my God, yeah. That was absolutely incredible.
That was definitely one of the best summer blockbusters I've ever seen.
Yeah, and also because it just came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Because that was the summer of 99. That was the summer of Phantom Menace.
Mm.
And it was just like, yeah, Phantom Menace is actually rubbish. But The Matrix is amazing.
Yeah, that's true. And I suppose a lot of it was it didn't have a massive kind of marketing campaign. So maybe you can have too much of a marketing campaign.
Oh my God, no such thing as possible.
it's all or nothing.
Well, it did and it didn't. It did come out of nowhere, but it had a canny marketing campaign, The Matrix. It certainly got people talking about it by releasing certain images. I just remember seeing a still of Keanu Reeves' mouth melting closed.
Yeah, yeah, that's
and
it.
I was just like, what? Yeah, and that's it, that image was shown around a lot. And was there lots of references to like blue pill and the red pill?
That's right. And they set up like a kind of website that called What is the Matrix, wasn't there?
Actually, that was the first summer where the internet really played a role in...
Yeah, the Blair Witch Project
came out the same year, I think.
Yeah.
And they both really used their websites and word of mouth to push the films.
When the internet was new.
Yeah, when it was all brand new. You know, going on to dial up. It's amazing.
Mom, can you get off the phone? I want to use the internet.
but special effect is nothing unless it has an amazing bit of music to accompany it.
I'm thinking Beverly Hills Cop.
I love that song when I was a kid.
Oh, it's amazing.
I really love that song. Of course, Ghostbusters. Which even now, in a funny way, that Ghostbusters song is almost outliving the film. It's almost getting to the point where I suspect more people know the Ghostbusters song than have actually seen Ghostbusters.
Well, Back to the Future.
And also...
let me finish.
It's... who did a lot of the music for that? Huey Lewis and the News?
Yeah.
They did...
Power of Love.
Power of Love. God, that's a brilliant song. And Going Back in Time. Bow.
That wasn't so good.
Oh, I like that one. And James Bond.
James Bond.
Got the music.
Yeah. Which is your favourite James Bond tune? It's got to be Live and Let Die.
Yeah. I thought you were joking then. I thought you obviously meant for me to say that. Down, down, down. Yeah,
the James Bond theme tune. That's my favourite James Bond tune.
But you're right. No, Live and Let Die. Yeah. That is. Or Goldfinger. But I mean, Indiana Jones. Actually, a lot of these Indiana Jones, Star Wars, Jurassic Park, all one man, aren't they?
John Williams.
Yeah, John Williams. He did Jurassic Park as well, didn't he?
I don't think he did James Bond.
No, I didn't say James Bond.
Oh, didn't you? Okay.
No.
Oh, listen in future.
Good. I don't think I did anyway. But John Williams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well done, John.
Well done, John. Did he do E.T. as well, the music for E.T.?
I think he might... Oh, God. Don't ask me questions I don't know the answer to.
He certainly did Close Encounters of the Third Kind, didn't he?
I don't... Why are you asking me?
Because you're president of the John Williams fan club. You don't know who does.
There's something called the internet. Go look it up. He definitely did a lot of them, though. I'm going to cut this bit out.
He did a lot. He did a lot.
Now, there's the next one on the list, I think, slightly controversial. Again, I'm going to hand it over to you.
What? Don't pretend that it was me who insisted on all these.
You did bring this one up, and I was a little bit sceptical. Annoying kid.
Annoying kid, yeah. Most blockbusters have an annoying kid in them.
Is this a recipe for you definitely have to have an annoying kid, or is this something to be avoided?
So many of them have an annoying kid. You suspect
it's like tradition, isn't it? Yeah. It's like tinsel at Christmas, you know.
Jurassic Park has got an annoying kid in it. Independence Day has got an annoying kid in it. The son of the stripper. Short Round in Indiana Jones and
Temple of Doom.
Big. The whole thing's about kid becoming a man.
Terminator 2, definitely.
Oh, yeah. Forrest Gump has got
that. It's falling down a bit now. I'm looking down the list.
Forrest Gump's got that kind of annoying. His son.
Well, he is a kid, isn't it?
Yeah, and he's got a son.
Beverly Hills Cop didn't have an annoying kid. Or Speed.
Didn't it?
Or Gladiator.
I've got a feeling.
Or Titanic.
Oh. Right. Okay, I was going to say Leonardo DiCaprio. So she was an annoying kid.
Okay, so can we make this an optional point?
Yes, I think if you really want to get a success under your belt, though, you got to throw in an annoying kid in there, just to learn a lesson or something. I don't know.
Learn them. That'll learn them.
Yeah, but all right. Then this next one, you can't argue against this. Funny,
definitely.
It's got to be funny. Got to have wisecracks.
Definitely wisecrack.
Ahoy. I mean, you've got Star Wars, you've got Harrison Ford making just fantastic wisecracks and the flirtatious banter with Princess Leia. Ghostbusters, just got the whole, you've got all of it in Ghostbusters.
Yeah,
they're all making jokes.
That's it. Star Trek 2, I don't remember many funny lines in that.
Oh, there's funny bits in that.
Come!
Yeah, that's hilarious. But no, also, I'm sure there's sort of funny bits with Dr. McCoy being really racist towards Spock.
Always a guaranteed clout. Beverly Hills Cop, yeah, exactly. James Bond.
Murphy at his brilliant best.
That's true.
Come on.
James Bond, full of quips and raised eyebrows.
Yeah, exactly. Permanently raised eyebrows.
Okay, so we can agree on that. Definitely funny. To be funny.
I went to the James Bond exhibition on Saturday at the Barbican.
All right.
Yeah. Quite interesting. You do kind of realise, though, they're not that good. James Bond films. You kind of stray. They've become an institution.
Yeah. A lot of them aren't that good.
Yeah, a lot of them aren't very good.
Yeah. Casino Royale was very good. I think that's probably the only film that I can actually sit down and say definitely.
That's a good film.
That's a good film.
Yeah.
The others are a bit like, yeah.
Oh, well. All right. Okay. Now, this is a controversial one.
Yeah. I've just seen what it is. You say it.
Okay. A good blockbuster should be, at the very least, available, and if not, should just be not in 3D. I'm sorry. It shouldn't be in 3D. 3D is a fad, and the sooner we just get over this fad, the better. And I've got a horrible feeling we won't, because the Hollywood studios have pumped so much money into it now that we're just going to be force-fed 3D.
Too big to fail.
Yeah, too big to fail, even though it's just rubbish. It's just rubbish.
I'm a little bit more kind of in the middle on the 3D thing. I agree that it is pointless most of the time, particularly when it's done badly. I watched Alice in Wonderland in 3D, and that was just absolutely dreadful. But when it's done well, like in Avatar, and I think Prometheus had really, really good 3D effects as well, it does look very good. So I think it can add to a film, but most of the time it actually takes away from it.
But what's the point?
Well, you're right. I mean, you know, I think this is the subject for a whole other podcast, I think. But
to 3D or not to 3D? Write that down, Lewis. That'll be the title.
I was thinking more about cinemas trying to attract kind of customers, and 3D is one of the big things. Well, but I'm like, well, just make a nice cinema.
Yeah, I was going to say, and that's also the subject for another podcast. A perfect cinema. How just to make a good cinema.
Yeah, definitely.
Because a lot just don't.
Yeah.
So if you could actually have a good cinema.
So we could definitely talk for at least an hour about that. We'll save that for another time.
Well, all right, this one, definitely not controversial. Incest subplot. most great blockbusters
no,
have a touch.
Not controversial. You say not controversial. I'd say actually maybe that is a little bit controversial.
Go on. The best trilogy ever.
Yeah.
Back to the Future.
Right.
Involves a lot of incest.
Granted, I'll give you that one. Yes, there is a lot of incest. And what was it you said to me before we came on, that his girlfriend looks a lot like his mother as
yeah,
well.
Especially in the first one.
Which is a
I forget the actress name who plays Jennifer Marty's
yeah.
girlfriend. But when I was a kid, I actually thought they were played by the same actress. Because I only saw it once, and I really just... Yeah, it just really confused me.
It didn't register with me at all when I was watching it as a kid. It was only when I watched it as an adult, I was like, oh, that was weird.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's one trilogy of films. What other films?
There must be. I mean, probably Jurassic Park, the way they made the dinosaurs. Probably... Because they had
some
to breed
them. Some of those dinosaurs were related.
Exactly. Yeah, they were probably a little bit inbred because they had to try and perfect the right genetic
right.
sequence.
Well, hold on. Star Wars.
Star Wars. Yeah.
Gets
there
off of his
go.
Sister.
Gets
I mean, come
well,
on.
He doesn't quite get off with his sister. There is I think there was a comic book tie-in between. After Star Wars had come out and was massive, but before The Empire Strikes Back came out, they released a comic book just with. You know, their adventures in between, and they were sort of allowed a lot of free rein when it came to just coming up with stories. And there is a panel with Luke and Leia just snogging.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cut out and keep.
In Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, both Indy and his dad sleep with the same woman. A bit incesty.
That would be an awkward conversation with your dad, wouldn't it? You found out your dad was sleeping with the same woman.
Gladiator, that's got a bit of incest in it, isn't it? The Emperor and his
sister.
Oh,
yeah, that's right. Do you know what? You've convinced me about it. I wasn't sure when you said it, but actually, no, it makes a lot of sense.
And finally, all the best, all the very best blockbusters have a slightly downbeat or ambiguous ending to them.
I'll definitely agree with that one. Definitely. Yeah, that's true. It's downbeat slash ambiguous. So Back to the Future, it ends with them, Marty, what about your kids? Because you've got to finish.
Yeah,
you've got to leave it open for a sequel.
Yeah, that's true.
The end?
Question mark. Yeah. Empire Strikes Back, the best of the three Star Wars films.
True, that's obviously very downbeat one.
Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan.
Khan!
Brilliant. The Enterprise is destroyed.
Yeah.
Spock's dead.
Yeah,
come on. Well, the film ends with Spock being dead. I mean,
that's pretty downbeat.
That is very downbeat.
Okay, well, what about the others on that? Well, Jaws, I suppose quite a lot of people die. That's pretty downbeat.
Yeah.
Indiana Jones? I suppose Raiders of the Lost Ark, the original one, where you have the crate that's... going into that giant warehouse at the end.
Yeah.
I remember that as a kid, I was going, no, but they lost the special crate.
That's very true, actually. Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Terminator 2, that kind of finishes on a positive note, doesn't it?
Well, sort of, but then...
Yeah.
Yeah, didn't they say there's a storm coming at the end?
Yeah, that's true.
Or is that Terminator 1?
No, that's Terminator 2.
There's a storm coming.
Yeah, that is... Well, yeah, that's a very sunny... Yeah, that
okay,
is a
so that's an essential downbeat. Thing, an ambiguous slash downbeat ending.
Forrest Gump, that child's left under the protection of someone who obviously can't look after himself.
God. I feel quite depressed after this.
And also, Forrest Gump, his... love of his life dies of AIDS.
Oh, God. Yeah. Who'd have thought that summer blockbuster could be so depressing?
Well, only the good ones, though, this.
Only the good ones.
And that brings us to the end.
On our
slightly downbeat, ambiguous ending to our podcast.
Okay, so we've got all the ingredients right here.
Yeah, so a perfect blockbuster would have the White House exploding.
Right, the first scene. For no real reason. Just explodes.
Harrison Ford walking away.
He's a bit old now. Can we have Tommy from Third Rock from the Sun walking away from the White House?
Tommy from Third Rock from the Sun is appearing in a lot of films. He was in the trailer for two films when I was watching Batman.
He's big now.
He's in a film with Bruce Willis, playing a young Bruce Willis.
My God.
Yes, he's inheriting the crown.
Wow. Who'd have thought he's taken over without us even realising?
Fingers crossed he's going to take on the Planet Hollywood franchise and really give it the injection
exactly.
Well, the arm it needs.
As our listeners know, we've been... backing him from the very beginning.
We have. We've been long... Yeah, and eventually we're going to have to start calling him by his real name rather than...
No one can remember his real name.
Don't need to remember it.
No.
All right, so Tommy from Third Rock from the Sun walking away from that explosion.
And then goes for a snog with Jane Seymour.
Jane Seymour, as she was in
Cryogenically Frozen.
Live and Let Die. Then he punches her in the face. The element of violence.
And it turns out she is actually a robot from the future.
Yeah, she calls up on her wrist a spaceship from her home planet, of
That's
course.
Right.
Spaceship flies down. The spaceship is something that can easily be replicated as a toy to tie into the huge marketing campaign. He apologises for smacking her in the face.
Then drinks a Coke because you've got to get the product placement.
Yeah, of course. They share a moment.
Yeah.
They share a heartwarming moment. A dinosaur appears.
Yeah. Maybe a little dog's running away from it.
Yeah. A dog running away from it as the dinosaur appears. So the audience goes, and applauds.
And he eats a lawyer.
Yeah. Then the dinosaur blows up. which is the special effect that's even more special than ours.
No one's ever seen a dinosaur blow up before.
It just blows up. Just really, like, just what the? And like everyone's just stunned. Yeah, there's blood everywhere.
Oh, no, we can't have blood.
No, that's all right. It explodes and we just get the dinosaur skull. Like the T-Rex skull. Yeah,
It drops onto the bonnet of a car, steaming, and a family inside react.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, to with the annoying kid.
Annoying kid.
And the dad is Eddie Murphy, and he's also playing the mother. And they stagger out and go, what? Like that. That's the funny moment. At that moment, the soundtrack kicks in, the tie-in single, which features Tommy from Further On from the Sun rapping in the middle of it.
And it's actually done by Bobby Brown.
Turns out the robot, Jane Seymour, actually is his sister.
Now, that's a bit of a leap there.
All right, well, we've not had them kiss, have we?
No, we haven't had them kiss. So he's a robot as well?
No, that's the weird thing.
Okay, you've lost me.
It's simple. Separate dads, different dads. Right. She's half robot on her dad's side. Same mother.
Of course, right, this all makes sense. Let's move on.
Just like in Star Wars, they had the same mother. Although they had the same dad, though, didn't they?
And Darth Vader was a robot.
There you go. And then as they kind of like, it all pans out, and then perhaps the dinosaur skull starts to shake right at the end of the film as if it's not actually dead. Perhaps it opens its mouth or something.
Ghost dinosaur.
And the whole thing's not in 3D.
Hey!
And what are we going to call that film, Lewis?
Summer Spectacularama.
I'd call it Bang Dinosaur Bang! !
The end?
Robo Bang Dinosaur?
Spaceship Robot Dinosaur Battle.
Sadly, it wouldn't get made now because the one thing we've not actually mentioned, which is the quintessential summer blockbuster film now, is the superhero film.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, we'll do it next time.
Yeah, we'll cover that next summer.
And that's the slightly downbeat ending.
And set up for the sequel.
Nice.
All right.
See you next week.
Bye.
No, Brontosaurus and Apatosaurus are the same species with different names.
Mm.
Apatosaurus is the official. This is too nerdy. We're going to cut this bit out.